Duck South Studios in Oxford, Mississippi.
We're mass communicating.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for them.
This is the End of the Line podcast, powered by DuckSouth.com.
I gave it a 10.
Sweep the leg. You have a problem with that.
And now, here are your hosts, Rocky LaFleur.
Everybody on? Good.
Great. Grand. Wonderful.
No yelling on the bus.
Josh Webb.
Sorry I had a fight familiar, your butt at the party.
And Jake Latondras.
I am bad news.
Also starring Rob Kroon.
I bet this guy's into the woods $100.
And Bradley Ramsey.
No, Mark, didn't say it.
Showtime.
All right, here we go. Hold your ears, folks. It's showtime.
Showtime, everybody! Showtime!
Welcome to the End of the Line podcast. I'm Rocky LaFleur sitting in the Duck South Studios on this Tuesday morning. I'm glad I'm not outside doing this. But joining me on the other end of the line, Jim Cantori, Josh Webb.
I cannot help myself. For everybody listening, I gave Rocky fair warning that, and I've really made a good effort not to talk about the weather, but I came outside and I'm standing under the porch recording, and it is thundering, sleet, not really snow, it's just thunder and sleeting where I am right now. And I told Rocky, I was like, this is like one of Jim Cantori's dreams right now. So, and then in 2 days, it's going to be his dream again, because there's going to be tornadoes everywhere, because I think Thursday is supposed to be 72 degrees. So, yeah, this is about as good as it can get for somebody like him. It does not do good for me trying not to report the weather.
I was thinking about you this morning when I woke up and looked on the radar, and it was nothing. I actually thought it was snowing really heavy. So I was taking kids to school to call my mom. She asked if it was raining. I said, no, it's sleeting here. And I looked on the radar while I was talking to her. I said, just 10 miles north of here is nothing but heavy blue. I said, so they must really be getting pounded.
We never got any snow up here, which I'm 80 miles north of you, but it was just sleet, and now it's kind of sleet and rain. I think it's like 35 degrees now. It's just finally got above freezing in the last little bit. Turned into more rain than anything, but
a nasty day. Listen, I was at the NWTF last week.
Yeah.
The talk going around the convention center, it's over. It's over.
Oh, it's over. It's long over. I hate it. I hate to tell everybody that was getting ready to pattern their shotguns and spray tick repellent on their clothes to get ready for turkey season. I hate to tell everybody, but word is, it's over. Turkey's been gobbling for a month. They're strutting in front of every trail camera there is, and according to all of the Facebook professionals, this season's over with. I mean, by middle of March, you can hang it up. I mean, it's going to be over with. So, Rocky, I warned you that would happen. I told you it would happen. We had, four sunny days in January and so far in February combined, and that was all it took for it to be over with. So that's what Facebook said, and I believe it. So turkey season's over with. I think I'm even going to skip crappie fishing this year. I think the spawn's over with. I'm just going to go straight to catfish and brim fishing.
I crappie spawn's almost over with.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you probably got about 36 hours left of that one. And that depends on when people hear this. I don't know.
28 hours now.
But, I'd put it for sure less than 2 days from right now. So, I hate to ruin everybody's spring, but, you might as well. I mean, you might as well go and forget tilling up a garden. I was going to do that today, and I might still. The ground's good and wet. I probably, as fast as everything's going this year, I'll probably have I have, you know, corn roasting ear size in about 10 days.
I got tomatoes ready right now, brother.
I believe it, you know. I believe it. I mean, and what a blessing. You didn't even have to worry about the bugs eating them up, you know.
Coming up in just a minute is Martin. You know, today, Josh, I told you this before we started recording this. We were really going to get back into the story today. We truly were going to get back into becoming Martin. But, dude, we started reminiscing about being kids growing up in the country. It is something that every person that grew up in the 80s and early 90s in the middle of nowhere, or, you know, even if you grew up on the edge of suburbia, there's something in there that we talked about that you grew up doing. It's really good stuff. Man, I had a great time laughing with Martin and talking about that stuff. So, anyways, coming up in just a minute. Hey, I'm just kidding around with you. I really did not hear anybody say that much about turkey season being over with. I know that it's been going around on social media for real, that it is over. But, you know, hens are pretty dependent on, I don't care if it was 70 I don't care if it was 90 right now. Hens are dependent upon photo periods, length of day, and when it comes to laying their eggs. And to lay their eggs, they have to have that old male. So if he's gobbling, so what? Let him gobble, man. Figure out where that sucker is and pattern him right now. That's awesome.
Eventually. And I don't know when, because this is like the third year that we've come to this point and said, you know what, we're not going to talk about this crap. But eventually, and it may be 10 years from now, we may not bring up the fact that everybody all of a sudden decides they've gone and listened for two mornings and the turkey's gobbled so well that the season's over with long before it opened. But it cracks me up. And yeah, I mean, you could go right now and probably hear some turkeys. Yeah, you probably could. Probably see some turkeys. But it ain't got anything to do with them breeding. I think a lot of people, like, don't understand the fact that we hunt animals during their breeding seasons. And the reason the seasons are there, or in the time of year we hunt them, is because it's their breeding season. So that's why we hunt them.
And their breeding season is dependent upon length of day.
On length of day, and it's different for, you know, ducks as it is turkeys, as you know. But amazingly enough, there's a lot of people, and I'm not kidding you. I mean, today is Tuesday. Of this week. I don't know when anybody's hearing this, but today is Tuesday, and Sunday, I started literally seeing people on social media complaining that turkey season, not in a kidding way, in a dead serious way, the same way it happens every year, complaining at season dates and mad and upset because turkey season is, you know, in their professional opinion, is going to be over with before it starts. I mean, crap, if you gave everybody what they wanted, right now we should have had a hard decision to make this morning, Rocky, whether we were going to get up and put on waders and go duck hunting or get up and go turkey hunting. Because if you give everybody what they want and what the professionals feel like should happen, we should be having to decide whether we're spending our mornings in February, because everybody feels like duck season should go all the way to March 1st, and everybody feels like turkey season should come back to February 1st. So, oh crap, we ought to have an overlap in there, you know, and everybody just shoot TSS and just have a good time. And just do whatever the crap you want. But, you know, if you did that, you know, you'd have to go ask the deer to keep their horns longer so you could hunt them in February, too.
February is the ultimate month, man. When my wife and I got engaged, she asked me, when do you want to get married? February.
February.
Why February? February is the ultimate month to do anything. Go to Disney, get married. Some of the best rabbit hunts of my life are in the month of February.
You know, that's the fun thing about February. And I wrote an article about that recently. And we talked about some of the other, you know, on the last podcast together. You know, that's the, as far as hunting, that's one of the, in February is one of the most fun times there is. You know, you can get out, go squirrel hunting, go rabbit hunting, go crappie fishing. But it's also a great time to go, you know, to go on, you know, take a weekend or two and go on a little trip somewhere. It's not going to be crowded, I promise. I don't care where you go. It's not going to be crowded. I agree with you. The only part of that I don't have is the wedding part. We got married the last week of January, so I missed out on the anniversary in February part by a week. But February is a fantastic month. But if you gave all of the social media professionals their way, we'd still be. I mean, right now we'd still be deer, duck, and turkey hunting. I mean, it'd be wild in February.
But there's nothing going. You know, my wife asked me, why do you want to get married in February? Because majority of my family farm. They're not doing anything in February.
Yeah, that's
right. You can't mess with people's football season tickets.
Uh-uh.
There's one thing in the South you don't mess with is having a wedding in the fall. If you're young and you're listening
Dangerous.
To this and you're thinking about getting married, do not let your fiance talk you into having a fall wedding.
And here's the thing, too. It don't, I promise, I know that it is your bride's day, and it is y'all's day together. I get it. It doesn't matter if you could care less about college football. If you dare get married in the fall, you will not have family members show up, because I promise if you're not a football fan, somebody close to you is.
A lot of
and
people
gonna,
are.
And they're going to have a hard – and the thing is, it's going to be a hard decision for them. If you are going to have a fall wedding, do it on an away week. I mean, the away game is only like 2 or 3 hours away. You know, make sure they're going somewhere way off. But even then, you're playing risky business, because if they had a bad week before, chances are that family member is still going to be pissed off and not want to do anything the next weekend. It's risky business.
February, there's no hunting season going on in February
that would interfere.
You know, you hate to miss a weekend of white perch fishing, because usually it's starting to come in the end of February, or, you know, a good rabbit hunt. But it's not like can miss, like during duck season or deer season.
That's right. That's right.
February is the ultimate
February is
month.
The ultimate month.
If you're thinking about doing anything.
Yeah.
So
I completely agree. I'm with you on that. But
cool trend that I've seen lately, though, Josh, is a lot of people getting married on New Year's Eve. I like that idea. If I'm getting married in the middle of winter, I'm getting married on New Year's Eve. I like that trend. You give everybody a place to go to.
Yeah, you do. You give them a but that's the thing. You've got to be willing to party through midnight. You can't just have a 4 o'clock in the afternoon wedding and then tell everybody bye. You can't do that. You got to commit. You got to commit to the party.
Yeah, it's six. It's a five or 6 o'clock wedding.
Yeah. Oh yeah. 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 But
you're not getting out of the way just serving hors d'oevres and a few sandwiches. You're serving some good food.
Oh yeah. You're gonna have to turn around and have a late night. You're right. I could see that.
You know what the average cost of a wedding is now? I heard this statistic on the radio the other day.
It's like 20 or 25 grand, isn't it?
42,000.
Well, I have two boys so far, so not my problem yet.
Yeah, all you got to worry about is the rehearsal dinner right now. Unreal,
you know,
man.
Here's the thing, too. Here's
a
the
lot
thing,
of people
so,
make that in a year. And a wedding, average cost of a wedding is costing that.
So here's what I want, or what's interesting to think about, though. By the time our kids get married, are those kind of, I know from mine and your standpoint they are, but are those kind of traditions still going to be upheld? Like, or is it just going, you know, I don't know if they will be, because, you know, so many kids these days, especially, you know, teenagers and young 20s and stuff like that, they feel like they know everything, so they want to do everything their own, and so they just, I don't know if those kind of traditions are still, will be as strong as they are in another 15, 20 years. I don't know. I mean, I don't care. I mean, if I have, you know, if my next 3 kids or however many kids we have are girls, it's fine. I'm going to pay for it. Find a way. But, you know, I think that side of tradition is dying out fast.
All I thought about, I don't know, man. I'm not trying to build myself up by saying this, but, you know, when we were talking about scheduling when we're going to get married, I didn't want to inconvenience anybody. I didn't want my wedding to be an inconvenience, man. I wanted people to be happy that they, you know, they weren't missing out on anything to be at that wedding. That was all they had to do that day, was come to that wedding.
Well, February is the month for it. I agree with you.
Yeah. How did we go from turkey season over to February is the month?
Well, because turkey season is supposed to be in February, Rocky. Duh. Yeah, we're supposed to be turkey hunting right now. You know what? Okay, well, if we're going to get back on that, you know what's funny about it is I guarantee you, so there'll be some quietness to the chatter of turkey season being over and all this other junk. There will be some quietness to that for about 2 weeks before season opens, because everybody will be more into, preparing, getting ready, getting excited. I guarantee you right now, you give it that opening weekend. You give it that first Saturday, Sunday. And Monday morning, there will be more complaining, and there will be even more people pissed off. Yep, season's over with. I went Saturday morning. I heard a turkey gobble. He flew down. He didn't do anything but stand out there and strut all day long. It's over with. He's done gobbling. It's done. So I quit. You might as well quit. There'll be more people mad that week than there is right now, because turkey didn't work perfect opening morning.
Now, let me have their place the first 2 weeks of April.
Well, fine with me.
Yeah, I'd give it up if I were you. If you can't kill them opening morning, give it up. Drop them in. Send it to me. I'll come hunt your place. Look, just give me 5 days. Drop a pin on it. Give me 5 days.
That's all I want, yeah. That's all I want.
Somewhere between April the 4th and April the 10th, somewhere in 12th, somewhere in there.
And I don't care to be there before 9 o'clock in the morning. That's fine. Me?
Me too.
There's a lot of people who are not going to understand that. There's a lot of people who don't understand that. I wouldn't say that about the people who listen to this podcast, but there's a lot of people who don't understand that.
We need to jump into some turkey, but we're going to jump head over heels into some turkey hunting podcasts here really soon. You know, we got some really close ties of some people that are really, really smart about turkey hunting and know the, and talk about it all day long. Troy, Preston.
Yeah. Yo. It's going to be fun. We'll bring back the regulars.
Too big, man, to come to the end of the line now.
I'll tell you what, I don't know if we can afford him.
Y'all all over the place.
What we might have to do is you know, I don't know. Might just have to record him in segments and just put in like 30 seconds per episode. That way we can stretch out, you know, our payment plan with him.
You know, y'all gets on these videos and talk so fast. You know, he's just such a fast talker. And you get with him behind closed doors or, you know, just you and him. He is the most cool, calm, collected human being you ever want to be around. But you put him on a video. I mean, he's going, I can't even make my brain think that fast. Make it communicate with my tongue. Talk that fast.
Oh, man. Yeah. We need to do that. we need to try to go on and get him on here in the next week or two and see what his thoughts on the season being over with before it starts. We need to do that. I'll holler at y'all this week. I like having him on here. He's a lot of fun. So, but
all right, Josh.
You know, look, we've got to
get to that interview with Martin now because we ran just a little bit over, just a little reminiscing. Hey, I got to ask you this before we get to that. You ever eat a wilted salad?
Wilted salad. Where did this come from? What made
all right,
you bring
so you got to listen to the second part. Figure out what a wilted salad is.
Okay.
So it's good stuff. But Josh, we'll get back together this week. Thank you again, but we got to get to that interview with Martin now. All right, guys. Like I told you on the front end of the podcast, Justin Martin. Martin, you are back from Utah. Tell me a little bit about it. How was it?
Well, I'll tell you what I learned about Utah this time of year. It is cold. I mean, I got there and stepped off that airplane and just snow going everywhere. And I said, oh, I'm not, no. This is, I'll be honest with you. When it's duck season, and I don't know if anybody else like this, the cold is actually like warming because you know what generally comes with the cold is good duck hunting. Once duck season closes, I turn into a sissy when it comes to cold weather. I freeze to death. I mean, and I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's a mental shift. It was like 32 degrees, nothing that we don't, you know, deal with anyway. But I was about to freeze to death up there in that concrete jungle, man. I couldn't get warm. So,
you were kind of like Rocky in Rocky IV. When they stepped off the airplane in Russia.
Yeah, we ain't there, you know, Dorothy, we ain't in Kansas no more. I mean, I was freezing to death. And then get back home down here, and it's pouring down rain and 40 degrees, and it's just as cold. I'm like, golly, man, it's time to go fishing. It can get 90 degrees now for all I care. Like, you know, let's get turkeys gobbling and strutting and everything else. Get off this cold mess. I'm ready for it to warm up. And you know, I think everybody in North Louisiana is fighting some sort of depression because since about November, I don't think we've had but about 10, 12 days of sunshine. So we need our vitamin D or whatever it is you get from the sun in our lives around here. Everybody moping, you know. I mean, it's like, gosh, dang, just, you know, please, something change. I'm tired of gray skies and wet.
I agree with you because you let me walk out to my vehicle at 6:30 in the morning, it'd be 32 degrees. I will freeze to death until that heater comes on. Let me walk out and go duck hunting and then be 18. I'm fine. Man, it's hot.
Oh, yeah.
It's warm.
Yeah. The only thing cold on you is your hands, generally. And this morning, I mean, I got in my truck and I'm sitting there. I'm about to freeze to death. I'm like, gosh, dang it. I guess it's got to just be a mindset thing. When you know you can't go out in it, you're just like, well. Huh. And, you know, that 20-foot walk from your truck to the office, you're just like, I can't get inside fast enough. So I don't know what it is, man, but I'm tired of it. I feel like we on Game of Thrones or something with the long winter. You know, winter's coming or whatever. It won't quit now. I'm beginning to think that groundhog don't know what he's talking about.
I would rather be 18 and dry than 46 or 48 and cold and wet.
Boy, you ain't kidding. Because this old humidity, this old humid cold down here just is bone chilling. You know, I will say that about the Utah. At least it wasn't like, I mean, it's cold, but it wasn't in there in your bones like it gets down here in the South. It's a different deal. It's just, you know, but up there, you know, I got to talk to a lot of them Western duck hunters. And, you know, they're a lot different than the Southern duck hunters. It's funny to me because they all desire what we have as far as hunting in trees and, you know, because you go out there, I mean, them trees are about as tall as me and you. They ain't but about 6-7 foot tall and that's it. So, you know, when they start talking about flooded timber hunting, and their eyes just light up. You know, they're basically like South Louisiana boys. They hunt a marsh on the Great Salt Lake the whole time. You know, which I guess would be fun if that's all you had, but I'd have to get the heck out of there. I couldn't do that every day. I would be miserable. But I am going out there next year, so that's going to be fun. I mean, I'm looking forward to going out there and shooting what they said is a bunch of green-winged teal and shovelers. And I said, oh, that ain't no different in Louisiana. Good. Feel like home.
Oh, well, you know, Martin and I were laughing and joking before this podcast started, before we hit the record button, laughing about the early years growing up, where we, not necessarily to learn wing shooting, but the desire to hunt, because we were laughing and joking about bird hunting. How we both broke in our professional careers into just bird hunting. And I was telling Martin before we started, man, we were so serious about it growing up. I mean, we had maps on walls with X's and bird stands, and man, you pulled the pins to where you were going. 'Cause I grew up, I had cousins growing up all the way around me, and you know, it was four or five of us. We'd pull a pin to where we were going to let the other ones know we were there.
Oh, you ain't kidding. I remember building little platforms so you could get off the ground because, boy, that mattered, you know. And, you know, taking dadgum bird seed and throwing it out on the ground, you know, like it was a corn pile for deer and, you know, but I'll tell you what, even them birds were slick too. But, of course, you know, you was out there in a, you know, blue sweatpants and a, you know, gray shirt. You wouldn't, you know, we didn't know no better with a dadgum Red Rider single cock daisy that, you know, you could shoot your buddy out there at about 40 feet and it wouldn't hurt. And, you know, it was just, but that's what we did growing up. You know, there wouldn't, you know, there were, you know, for me, I'm a little bit younger and there were video games, but they were kind of, you know, it wasn't what you did growing up. Like, I mean, video games sometimes. Yeah, if it was pouring rain, and even then, pouring rain, we played a game that we called sock game inside the house. So, like, and none of our houses were big, so don't hear me. But we would hide, quote unquote, hide in there and have a ball of socks, you know, and you were basically playing peg inside the house, but you did the socks so you didn't break nothing. And I remember my buddy used to always, he was the slickest one. He'd stand on the bathroom counter where you couldn't see him with the lights off, and you go walking by the bathroom door, he'd just hit you in the top of the head every time. But he was so little, but if you tried to throw it in there, you never hit him. So then you were without a weapon and you were just a sitting duck anyway. So you basically had to run by him real quick, you know. And man, the things we used to do as kids, to entertain ourselves, it just, you know, if it wasn't a Red Rider, it was a fishing pole. And, you know, we had two ponds in our, on my little road growing up, and we had every fish in them things named, man. We had, you know, old Slipmouth, One-Eyed Willie. We had, yeah, there was just, we had every bass in them things named. We even got to the point where we'd catch little brim and keep them in a bucket, and we'd catch one of them big bass, and then we'd feed him the brim and then put him back in there. Like, here you go, we got you, you know. And I swear that we basically had them bass trained where they'd swim up to us when they heard the four-wheelers pull up to the pond. They're like, hey, will you catch us and feed us and put us back in there? It was bizarre, old world, man. And now you just don't see that, man. It you know, I go driving by all these neighborhood ponds and things. There ain't no kids out there fishing. I just, man, we've come a long ways in this world. And you know, I want to think it's for the better, but I'm not convinced it is.
I don't hear kids talking about bird hunting anymore.
No,
you know, and I'm not saying advocating going out there to shoot something just to kill it, but you know, I was sitting here thinking the other night about the things that my kids probably won't know, you know, bird hunting. And let me just tell you something: the peak of our bird season was when the red wing migration came back through in the spring.
Oh man.
Yeah, I love
you. Didn't have enough BBs for them.
I viewed those suckers as pests.
Oh yeah. Oh, my grandparents did too. My favorite one was when the tomatoes would get ripe, out there on Mamaw's garden, and them old birds would get out there and sit on top of them posts, and she'd say, I want you to kill every one of them that's eating my tomatoes. And boy, you just sat out there, you know, and you just waited for one to land on top of that T-post and pop, you know, or that tomato stick, whichever one. You know, once we graduated from wooden sticks to T-post, we was walking in high cotton then.
Oh, we didn't have to,
you know, you weren't breaking them sticks when you was driving them. Because if you broke them sticks when you was driving them, you got your butt tore up. Because generally that meant you was being careless and you weren't going straight down with it. But once you got T-post, it was a game changer then. Of course, everybody's had one of them T-post drivers that just dadgum vibrates you from your hands up to your earlobes, you know, after you hit it about three times. But
you always knew the guys that worked a T-post or worked on a cattle ranch, cow farm. Man, by their shoulders,
I guarantee you, shoulders.
Man, those are people that work you out.
And being the biggest of the grandkids, I was always the one with the T-post driver because I was the one that could reach up to the top. You know, I was the only one that could get that thing over the top of it and have to slam that sucker home. But you know, that's what we did growing up, man. That and you know, the one thing I hated was digging new potatoes. I despised that growing up as a kid. I don't know why, because I loved eating them, but boy, I hated getting out there and digging through them things. You'd find old rotten one that, yeah, I mean, just ruin the rest of your day. But boy, that was one thing that you had to do at Mamaw and Papaw's if you wanted to eat any. You had to get out there and dig them new potatoes. And then you'd keep the little ones and the ones that had the eyes coming off of them already because they was, you know, they ripened a little faster. You'd take them and wash them and cut them in half to plant them next year.
That's right.
Yeah, but you start telling kids about that now, and they're like, "Now do what?" Yeah, you don't go to Walmart and get that stuff.
Man, it would take a month to get the dirt out from under your fingernails.
Oh, it was awful, wasn't it? I mean, just awful.
And we grew but we grew them in gin mode.
Yeah,
so our garden was a mixture of just good topsoil, and we mixed with gin mode. From the tin.
Yep.
And that was always the sign of a new spring was when we went and we spent two weekends in a row hand loading a trailer with gin mote and then unloading it in the garden, you know, when you got back home. Or
ain't no doubt about it.
Your brother do it.
Yep. That's just what you did though. I mean, that's what, you know, that was Mamaw and Papaw's tax for taking you hunting and fishing, was you had to help in that garden, you know?
Yeah.
And I find myself, you know, living in a subdivision, I'm actually this year going to build me a little box to make me a bigger garden. I've been just growing stuff in pots, basically, you know, growing jalapenos and cucumbers and squash in some little pots. I say little pots, big enough for them to spread out in, but I'm going to build me a little box with a trellis and you know, all that so I can grow me some, show enough cucumbers, because I love cucumbers. But you know, it's just, you don't see that anymore, man. You don't see gardens anymore. It's just, it's crazy to think of the things that could be lost from one generation, or in that case, two generations to now. To what are our kids, and I don't have any kids, but what are the kids of today, what are they going to remember about Grandma and Grandpa? You know, what are they going to remember about Mamaw and Papaw? Because there ain't nobody out there digging taters no more or multiplying onions or, you know, I mean, it just don't happen anymore. And I'm like, man, if I didn't do that when I was a kid, what would I have done? Like, you know, I just don't know, looking back, what would have taken up my free time as a kid. And you know,
I'll give you some examples for everybody to think back over. Dirt clod war. If you had a dirt clod war, you grew up in the 80s and 90s.
Oh, ain't no doubt about it.
Oh, man.
Or an old,
we
you know,
almost
my
killed
other...
each other with dirt clods.
Oh, one of the worst butt whoopings I ever got in my life was after a rain we had. But we would cheat. We'd use them old crawfish mounds for pre-made dirt clods, you know.
Ooh,
you let them things get... You let them things get a little hard, and them things would dough pop you. I mean, like, I'm talking about dough pop you. And I remember, too, this is a funny one, in our front yard, you know, we wasn't well enough off to be no members of no country club or nothing, and we saw golf on TV, so we got a set of golf clubs at old garage sale. We went out there and buried Folger's coffee cans in my parents' front yard and made us a little golf course. But, you know, and I'm talking about I'm talking about like hitting off bahia grass, and you know, and oh, we, you know, we hit one through the window. We did all kinds. We didn't know what we were doing. We ain't golfers, you know, and just, but that's what we did to entertain ourselves. Like when you just got tired of playing wiffle ball, I mean, you had to do something. And you know, I just, it's crazy, man. It's just, when you stop and think back, you're like, golly, that was a long time ago. But it really wasn't in the grand scheme of things. I mean, you know, we're talking about stuff that's been lost just in 15 and 20 years. So,
yeah.
Bottle
rocket
crazy
wars.
About it. Oh, man, Lord, Roman candles. Oh, man.
Man.
You know, I had several.
You were talking about the Daisy BB guns. We would have BB gun wars, but you knew the face was off limits. But the only requirement for the BB gun wars is you remember the old one zip up in the middle camo jumpsuits, or they were overalls, camo overalls?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, made by them old Walls things or whatever that was so cold back in that you thought was warm, but they wouldn't.
Yeah.
They,
don't show up to without your overalls to the BB gun war. We're not waiting on you. We'll tag
you
going back to the house.
You needed a little padding around your knees and your elbows and stuff. but that stuff, man, it just don't happen no more, man. I'm telling you, it's crazy. Oh, and the other thing about a BB gun, you talking about the bottle rockets. Now, you can shove that bottle rocket stick down in that BB gun, and you had you an all-time, you know, shooting stick in. You just
that
fuse with it sitting down there, and it's... You could aim that sucker then. You wouldn't just throwing it at people.
I can remember the Adam Sandler movie where they're shooting the bow and arrow up in the air. Now, we didn't do it to see who was going to run first, but we would just get out in the middle of the field with the bow and arrow and shoot it up in the air. See how high it would go. Flying a kite, man. We flew kites. I would tie 10 rolls of string together to fly a kite. Just see how high I could get it in the air.
Oh, there was a time growing up when there would be no less than 2 kites caught on the power wire in front of my mom and dad's house. Just because you wasn't paying attention, you take off and that thing is, just wrap around that wire. You're like, well, there goes that one. It'll come down once that string dry rots. Yeah. Oh, man. I'm telling you.
Jeez. Growing up then in that time period, in the fall, you were waiting on the JCPenney and Sears catalog to, you know, to look for Christmas stuff. And then in spring, man, I would wait at the post office, the mailbox for the Cabela's or Bass Pro for fishing lures.
Oh, man, them first 4 pages with all the new stuff, golly. Man, I couldn't wait to get that thing. I remember they got me one time. They slicked me on one of them. And, I told him about this because through our deals, we got to meet a lot of people. And it was Roland Martin's helicopter lure, which was the dumbest thing ever made. I'm talking about the dumbest fishing bait ever made. But I could not wait. And I ordered them things off of infomercial. And, of course, you know, I got about 175 of them for $19.95 because, you know, you got a free one and this, that, the other. I ain't ever caught a fish off them things, but they took my $20 just as quick as we sitting here, son. And I remember I run into him fishing. I was tarpon fishing with him. And I said, now, be honest with me, Roland. I said, how much money did you make off that thing? And he said, I made a fortune off that thing. I said, well, you got $20 from me. Can I get that back? I said, because that thing ain't ever caught a fish. And he said, boy, you wasn't kidding. That thing wasn't much, was it? He said, but it was marketing genius.
Oh.
I said, you dirty rat. Oh, I bought the flying lure, the banjo minnow. I was a sucker for a fishing bait infomercial, man. I was, you know, hook, line, and sinker. They had me. I was like, golly, look at all them things are catching. Didn't realize then it was in a tank, you know, but whatever.
I was the king of the Beatles. I was the king of the Beatles spin.
Oh, yeah, that old white one with the red dot on it. Boy, that was
good.
And then the one that looked like a catapa worm, that old black and yellow one, that was a good one. But that's something people don't probably do anymore either, is go pick the top of worms off a tree, you know. I always used to ask my papa, I said, what is this thing, what does it turn into? And he'd always never missed a beat. Catfish. That's all he ever said. What does a catapa worm turn into? Catfish. Okay. All right. He said, well, when you put it on the hook, every time you pull it up, it's a catfish. I guess that's what he turns into. You know, now being the nerd I am, I know it's a sphinx moth, but, you know, it is what it is. But that was always his line. Man alive, I miss that old man. Golly. Whew. The things you don't realize, you know, you miss the smell of a pipe. He was a pipe smoker, and I'm like, man, that was something back then.
Ooh, man. It amazes me how many people don't grow gardens anymore.
No, they're non-existent, man. They're just really not. Unless you're, you know, unless you're 70 and live out in the country, that's all the people that fool with gardens anymore. There's a few people around here that still grow them in subdivisions. You see them in their backyards, but it, for the most part, man, it's a lost art. And that's a shame, man, because, you know, my parents still do. Thank goodness my dad retired now, so they still keep my grandparents' garden up, which I still help them with. But, you know, we don't grow everything that my grandparents used to grow. My grandparents grew everything from tomatoes, peppers, all the way down to watermelons. I mean, you know, it was just you had something for every stage of spring and summer. There was always something fresh and ripe coming out of there. So, and even in the winter, they grew greens and lettuces, and, you know, my mama used to always love what she called a wilted salad, you know, go out there and pick that lettuce they grow and then fry bacon and pour that hot bacon grease over it with crumbled
you
up bacon.
You ate those?
Oh, son, did we? Golly, that's what you ate during the wintertime. Wilted
Holy
salad.
Holy moly, man. In
and
March
cut up
and
boiled
April?
Eggs and put in them.
Oh, golly, it's good. Let me tell you, folks, if you're listening to this, you just grow, it's a green leafy lettuce. I can't remember. You remember the specific, because there's so many different lettuces you can buy. And this is a sweeter, light green.
Yeah, that's exactly what, I can't remember, but it'll be at any co-op or feed store. You know, I mean, if they got it, they'll tell you which one it is, but. Oh yeah,
man! Martin just brought up one of my favorite childhood memories. You put that in, you wash it. The longest part about it is washing the lettuce, because usually it takes a while to get the dirt off of it.
Oh
man,
yeah,
man! You put some green onions in there with it, mix it all up. You know, fry you some bacon, about 8 or 10 pieces. Save the grease. As soon as you get your lettuce ready and you're golden hot bacon grease poured over the green lettuce.
Yep.
And then, you know, you get your chipped up bacon that you add to it. And
crumbled
add
bacon
some
and old eggs and a little bit of vinegar. Yep.
Oh my
that was,
gosh, man. One of my favorite childhood memories.
Oh, the things you don't realize, man. You don't have it anymore till it's not a thing, you know. That and hot water cornbread. You can't find good hot water cornbread no more, you know. We always called it dog bread growing up, because my grandparents, like, well, it ain't no good cold, so they just throw it out the back door to the dogs. So that's, you know, as a kid, that's what I associated with, but I just called it dog bread. I didn't know it had a specific name of hot water cornbread. But, you know, that you didn't warm up hot water cornbread. You ate it while it was hot and right then, and then you threw the rest out to the dog. And, you know, it was just, man, you talk about memory
lane. You made a kid sit down and shell butter beans or peas, they would go bananas today.
Oh,
I can't
especially
tell
if
you
they had to do them stupid green crowder peas that are so hard to shell. Gosh almighty Jesus. Purple hulls were a dream other than turning your fingers purple, you know. And butter beans. I hated butter beans too. But man, that's just what you did. I mean, you earned your keep back then. Like, you sat there and you did it, you know. And Mamaw's deal was, she's like, I'll pick the peas if you and Papaw shell them. And that's what we did. And then to save them, you know, we'd get them in there and she'd either cook them or she'd go in there and blanch them and put them in the freezer. That way you had peas to eat all year. And sweet corn and canning maters and everything else, man. That's what you. My worst one is when she would make her homemade sweet pickles. Because I'm not a huge vinegar fan anyway, and she'd get that thing in there boiling, and the whole house smelled like boiled vinegar,
boy.
And just make me want to gag. Like, you know, it wasn't nothing but boiled vinegar and sugar, and they poured it over everything. And I mean, to this day, I cannot eat a sweet pickle. I do not like them things. If it ain't dill, I'm out.
You know, we growing up in the small community, another thing that I remember always pops in my memory is about two Saturday nights, or one, especially in the spring, it was probably two, but rest time is usually about one. But we'd have a community fish fry.
I
mean, you talk about solving the world's problems. They got solved at that fish fry.
No doubt about it. That's when they talk about everything under the sun, too, you know. Or, you know, especially here, I got this growing up on my tomatoes. What do I do with it? You know, and this, that, the other. There wasn't no Google. There wasn't no, you know, plant diseases of the U.S. or nothing. You talked about what dust you put on the stuff. And, you know, my grandkids doing this. How do I, you know, all the stuff that you remember kind of overhearing as a kid, but you don't really know what it was because you wasn't paying attention. You was running around with the other kids, you know. Y'all's
if we play hide and go seek.
Oh, hide and go seek, digging up night crawlers, you know, whatever. I mean, it's just what you did, you know.
Man, I got so much trouble with my wife about 2 weeks ago. Our kids, that we were at somebody's house in the middle of nowhere, and I told them, I said, let them go play hide and go seek. No, they get hurt. I'm like, oh, my God. Some of the best times of my life was when the parents were, you know, we were at a kind of a family or friend function where the parents were in the house, and then they just let you go.
Oh, well, somebody
bruises
always,
wasn't going to hurt you.
Somebody'd always come in bleeding from football, or, you know, kill the man with a ball, or hide and go seek. Somebody'd always come in bleeding, but it was all right. You know, most time we was bleeding, but we wasn't crying, you know, scraped knees and all that. Who cared? That'd clear up. It just, the only time it'd get weird is if it was after, you know, like a funeral or a church gathering where you got your good clothes dirty. You know, that was always ground for a butt whooping there. That was always one that you knew better. Like, you know.
And one of the worst butt whippings you would ever get. You dirtied your church clothes up. Like you're talking about a wedding, funeral, or after, you know, you had Sunday dinner, lunch at church.
Oh, yeah. Was a good butt whooping there. Or tracking mud inside Mamaw's house. That was another one that get your butt whooped quick, fast, and in a hurry. If you didn't take your shoes off at the door, you was about to get a butt whooping from a paddle that had a hole in the end of it. That way you'd have just a little white hole, and the rest of your butt would be red, you know?
Hey, Martin, you take any suburban kid in America today. Just take the average suburban kid. We handed him a hoe. Would he know what to do with it?
No, he'd probably take that thing and step on it and hit himself right between the eyes with it, I'm sure. You know, he wouldn't know what to do with that thing. He wouldn't know what to do with a hoe, a potato rake, and heaven forbid you give him a set of post hole diggers. You know, ooh, Lord, some of my most lonely days was with a set of post hole diggers. Golly. Ugh. Papa just sitting there with a water hose mixing the sap creek.
One of the biggest cuss words in the world in the middle of July was get those post hole diggers.
Oh, man, golly. I always used to mess around once I got a raid. I always said, boy, Papa, them right there is left-handed. I'm right-handed. I said left-handed post hole diggers. I can't use them. Oh, good time.
I can't tell you how many miles I walk with a hoe in my hand or a backpack sprayer on my back.
Or one of them old single push plows, you know. Ooh. Whenever them things come out with that big wheel on it, whenever you'd have to go down the side of the tomato row, and don't you hit that plant, because they's going to put that fertilizer out there to the side of it. But, boy, old silver and red push plow. Golly. Ugh. Whew, the things you did. Like, but, you know, back then, you looking back on it, you're like, I don't ever remember just being like dog tired, but if I went out there and got on the business end of a push plow right now, I wouldn't be able to move for a week and a half, you know. But as a young kid, heck, you just grabbed a hold of it and went with it. Don't worry about the mule, load the wagon philosophy, you know.
Hey, Mark, let me ask you this one, and I'll leave it alone after this. You know, when I was growing up, you didn't judge your fellow man, but one of the judgments that I did make as a kid was if somebody had an electronic antenna turner. And that was that, man, they got more money than they know what to do with. Because yeah. One of my sole jobs, along with all the other stuff that I've just been talking about, was to be, I was either the communication man or the turner. Most of the time I was the communication man because I had an older brother that was stronger than me. But
yep.
You stood at the door and you, whoa, 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 stop it right there, you know.
Yeah.
But
that's what it was at the hunting camp. It was a three-step process because the antenna was too far away from the TV to hear them on the inside. So you had Papaw watching it. You had either Mama or the brother at the door, and you was out there turning that thing with a pair of channel locks or your hands, depending on if it was raining or not, you know, where you could get a grip on it.
Oh. And man, if you my wife tells me all that, we had one of those, you know, before satellite and cable, we have one of those little things that the antenna turned by itself. You just turn the knob. Boy,
oh,
yeah. A lot of money. Rich.
Oh, you was walking in high cotton and crapping in it too, using the big leaves if you had that. Golly. I remember the first remote control. I was like, God, look at this thing. I ain't got a, Papa ain't going to make me get up and go change a channel again. You know, but most of the time it went from, you know, CBS was his news channel for local news and 60 Minutes and all that back before it became all political propaganda. And then after that, he'd make me go over to change it to the public broadcasting because they had that old, what was the name of that show, like Antiques Roadshow or something where they just went around looking at junk before, you know, like American Pickers and all that. He loved seeing that old stuff, you know. And that was what you did at the hunting camp. Like, I mean, that was just part of it. That was life, you know.
Did y'all get Jackson channels over there?
No, we always just got, you know, the few that's in Monroe. Just, you know, a couple of ABC, NBC, and CBS, and then that Louisiana Public Broadcasting. It would have Justin Wilson on it and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. So,
somebody this weekend up there was asking me about Justin Wilson and Boudreaux and Thibodeau jokes, and I was like, oh man, you are old school. I'd be talking about that all the way from Utah. They wanted to prove that they had spent some time in Louisiana, you know. I was like, oh, you're talking about Justin Wilson, we are going back. Oh Lord,
man,
good.
And right, I'll leave it with this, but growing up in that time period was Mid-South Wrestling.
Yeah.
That's one of your favorite memories
yeah. As
a kid. Growing up in that time period was Mid-South Wrestling.
And looking back on it, it was so bad.
Oh, man. But it seemed the older you were, the more you believed, though.
Oh, I guarantee you. Yeah. Oh, man. Yep. Yeah. Oh, I remember they'd come to the Monroe Civic Center, so you'd be there, you know. Golly, you couldn't not go. What else was you going to do?
Yeah, let's see. Hacksaw Jim Duggan, Kamala. Gosh, there was a one that marched up under a Russian flag. You hated him.
Yeah,
hated
nobody could stand him. Nobody.
Then you had Skandar Akbar also. You hated him.
That was one of the coolest things about Duck. One of the funniest things about Duck Dynasty is when we filmed that episode with Hacksaw Jim Duggan. I mean,
that's right. That's right.
He come walking out and he's all like, because they surprised us. They're like, oh, we'll just get some wrestlers. So we didn't know who was coming in. And they wanted a real reaction. So when he come out of the back of that box truck, we were like, are you kidding? I mean, we instantly went back to being 8 to 15 years old again. Like, you know, and everybody, like, all at once, oh, with a thumb up in the air, you know. I mean, you just, it's amazing, man. It's the stuff that stirs your memories from childhood.
Yeah.
That, you know, that none of these kids know nothing about and never will know anything about, really. It's crazy. Or going to see monster trucks in a non-ventilated arena. When you leave there, your eyes just bloodshot red, you know, from breathing in the exhaust and everything.
How you got out of there without carbon monoxide poisoning? It's amazing.
Oh, well, I think everybody did. You see them walking out, everybody looked like he's drunk. You know, he's all lightheaded. Because that ventilation fans wasn't nothing. And now, you know, if you try to do that, boy, they'd shut you down in a heartbeat. But we all made it. So I'm like, what's the problem?
favorite wrestler from back then?
Oh.
For mid-size.
I guess probably... I mean, you got to go with Hacksaw, right? With the American flag and the 2x4? I mean, what? I'm trying to think.
Him or Junkyard Dog.
Junkyard Dog was another good one. But the other one that always comes to mind is Ultimate Warrior. But I think that was when, like, WCW or WWF started, I think, is when he got to be something. Or the Big Boss Man, you know, he was always a cool one. Had that badge on like he was a cop, you know. Just trying to, you know. Oh Lord. Ooh.
And then, but I'll say this last thing: favorite tag team was, and a lot of people's not going to remember this. If you remember this, you're listening to this, comment on it. I want to see if anybody remembers. They were called the Rock and Roll Express.
Yep.
To see them live was something amazing. They were something like out of the greatest circus on earth. Those guys would flip and jump and hop, and it was nuts. Come off the top ropes.
Yeah, they really kind of brought acrobatics into all of that. They were kind of the ones that started all that kind of, you know, the jumping and using the ropes and all of that kind of stuff as like props and stuff. You know, up until then, you didn't see nobody doing all that gymnastics-like stuff with it. So, yeah.
Yep. Hacksaw, Jim Dugan, Junkyard Dog, and the Rock and Roll Express. Man, you put them in front of me on a Saturday morning with, what's his name, selling siding? What was his name? From Green Acres.
Yeah. Oh, crap. Oh, yeah, that was mind-numbing entertainment. Like, couldn't take your eyes off of it either. It was just, I mean, you was there. You was locked in for a couple of hours. Just like, yep, there it is.
It blows me away that kids get cartoons every day now. And I know that's a point that is talked about so much. But, man, growing up, you know, you came home from school, you did your homework, you had chores to do, and there wasn't anything on but the news. When you came in, I'll never forget this, majority of my life coming in when it's getting dark. I'm losing my mind. Junkyard, Pop. I am losing my mind, Martin.
I'm drawing a blank.
Can't think of the name of the show, but that was when you came in every day.
Well, and I remember around here too, whenever, you know, right when it was getting dark, it was always Wheel of Fortune or Jeopardy was on, you know. Like, I mean, that was what Mama watched. And it'd be funny when they'd show a rerun, because, you know, she wouldn't necessarily realize it was a rerun, and she'd be solving them puzzles like, oh, I got this sucker, son. But, you know, old Fred and Lamont and, what was that? Oh, his buddy Rollo, and Grady. I still watch Sanford and Son when I find it on. It comes on some of them old channels, and I'll still watch it. It makes me laugh. Oh, it makes me laugh. Because it was such bad acting, but everybody back then thought it was good. And great. Oh, man. It was You big
dummy. Ain't Esther.
Yeah.
You take Ain't Esther out of that show, her or Woody. That show wasn't as good.
Yeah. I'm coming to join you, Elizabeth. You big dummy. Oh, I love it.
I know I say this every week. I did not intend to go into this podcast talking about this, but what a great trip down memory lane.
Oh, yeah. This is, man, there's going to be some people, though, that the younger members of Duck South that listen to this going to be like, what in the heck are they talking about?
Man.
But maybe it'll make them go look up Sanford and Son and get a little old school entertainment and, you know, look up
probably,
some of itself wrestling.
You can probably find it on Netflix or YouTube and play it on your smart TV.
Yeah, but that was the other deal. It was Mid-South Wrestling. It wasn't wrestling. It was wrestling. You know, it had an R in there. It had an A instead of an E. It was wrestling.
A. That's right.
Yeah. Oh, man. Golly. That's a good way to start a Tuesday right there, I guarantee you.
Go look up Kamala. Kamala will make your day. Go look him up, pictures of Kamala from back in the day. The African tribesman. Man, that took away 400 pounds and had moons and stars and suns painted on his belly.
Oh, shoot.
Well, Martin, I enjoyed it. Thank you for the trip down memory lane. I can't believe that you had a wilted salad, man. That's still one of my mama's favorite things to eat in the springtime. From March until about May.
Yep. It's coming. It's right here on us if it'll quit raining. My parents still grow it, so we still eat it. That's about the only thing with vinegar I can stand. I'm just not a big vinegar fan. I don't know what it is, but my tongue don't like it. But that one, I don't know if it's nostalgia or if it's just there's just enough bacon grease to cut that vinegar. It ain't so bad, you know. But
what are the little the radishes? My mama loves putting radishes in her, and I'm not a fan of a radish, but she loves it. I'll pick my radishes out.
Oh, I do too. I pick them off to the side. Them things ain't for eating; they just for looking at. That's all they're about.
That is deer and rabbit food.
But yeah.
Try a wilted salad. I'm telling you, that's how you, I explained to you how you cook it when we were talking about that. You need to try it this spring. But anyway, Martin, thank you again. We want to thank all of you that listened to this edition of the End of the Line podcast, powered by DuckSouth.com.